In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. And now that word floated in a boat on the water. The seas hold their place at his command. The fish multiply because he spoke centuries ago, and now he utters his life-giving word to the pressing crowds. Adam once hid his face among the trees, but his descendants jostled to get closer to God. Elijah hid his face at the sound of a low whisper, but this pressing crowd gazes intently into his eyes. Why the change? Because that word became flesh. Because he who is a consuming fire now dwelt among them, hiding his eternal glory in his flesh. He looks like them, he moves like them, he talks like them, he acts like them, though is without sin. And so they are not afraid of him. He comes not to judge them, but he comes to save them. He comes not to condemn, but he comes to make everything very good once more. And so he lets them see his face. He lets them hear his voice. He lets them handle his body. And in doing so, they handle, see, and hear the very creator of heaven and earth. He still fully possesses all glory, power, majesty, and strength. He has not set them aside. He has not given up his divine attributes, for to do so would be to give up the Godhead. And he must be fully God, so he must always possess those attributes. But he did not make full use of them at all times. Here he does. He spoke and the fish are gathered, but he works through his creation. And so he speaks not to the fish, but he speaks to the fishermen, "Let down your nets for a catch." As he multiplied the 5 loaves to feed thousands without diminishing the loaf, so he multiplies the fish without emptying the sea. This is his creation, and he can do with it as he pleases. And he desires to bring in the good and the bad, the sick and the healthy, the young and the old. Fish after fish flop over the rail onto the deck, sinking those 2 boats deeper and deeper into the water. And Peter is terrified. He sees what the crowds failed to see. He sees what Adam knew all too well. This man is the Lord God Almighty, the King of heaven and earth. Instead of pressing toward him as the crowds desired, Peter begs Jesus to depart from him. For how can a sinner live among he who is holy? How can the unholy dwell in the presence of that eternal God? His glory would consume him. He is not a wimpy Jesus. He is not soft and malleable. He won't adapt culture himself to that culture. And he won't play nice just simply to gain a following. He is who he is, and he will not change. He remains the eternal Son of God without beginning and without end. And yet at the same time, he is the Son of Mary, conceived in time and born from her. He remains a consuming fire, and yet at the same time, a low whisper to still Peter's fears. He did not say that Peter was overreacting. He did not say that Peter was wrong to be afraid, that no one should ever be afraid of Jesus. But he simply said, "Do not be afraid." This "do not be afraid" is not a rebuke of Peter, but it is a word of absolution, a word of forgiveness. Though Peter kneels in a sinking boat, this creator pulls him up from the depths of despair and brings him into a new life, a life that is lived in the presence of his creator. A life that is removed from the chaotic darkness of sin, a life without fear, a life that follows Christ wherever he may go, carrying whatever he may send. And as Peter, James, John, and Andrew leave that boat to follow Christ, Christ, out of the depths of his eternal love, sends them out and all his ministers to draw men out of the depths of this world. He still works through his creation to accomplish his purpose. Like the sea, this fallen world is wild and chaotic. Its murky depths provide safety for schools of sinners. Like Adam, you have tried to hide in the darkness, pretending that no one knows what you have done at night. No one can see or hear or remember what went on, that not even God remembers what takes place. For if you forget, then certainly God must also forget. But God knows and God sees. He knows your nighttime dreams, and he knows your daytime fantasies, driven along by your boredom with the gifts that he has given around you. He's well aware of your indifference and apathy toward your loved ones simply because they no longer excite you. He's heard your rationale for why you don't have time for him or his word today. He's seen your sin, not simply some of it, but all of it. There's no need to try to justify it, saying, well, so-and-so did the same thing. Of course the world is acting that way. Everyone else is doing it because all fish swim in the same direction. No one is unique. No one is special. No one breaks the mold, for all have sinned. And sinners cannot dwell in the presence of him who is holy. He won't change who he is. He won't adapt to your culture, and he will not play nice either. He must be true to himself. He must speak his words of truth and life. And he speaks that word through his creation, that is, through his ministers. And so you have come here in the presence of him who is a consuming fire and yet at the same time a low whisper. In the presence of him who preaches both law and gospel. To be in the presence of Christ's ministers is to be in the presence of Christ himself as they carry out the work he has given them to do. For it is he who says to you through them, do not be afraid. I have caught you. I have dragged you out of death and brought you into a new life. I have removed your sin. I will not let you sink back down into the depths of this world. I will not let the world overwhelm you, but I will bring you safely to those shores of heaven. For I knit you together in your mother's womb, and I will be with you always. By his word were the heavens made. By his word you are remade. Out of water the earth was formed. Out of water you are drawn, so do not be afraid. He came in flesh and blood to save you. Forsaken on a tree in the depths of darkness, he redeemed you from your empty, chaotic way of life. He comes in flesh and blood now to speak to you. The flesh and blood of his minister. He speaks the very words of God. You hear his voice as the voice of Christ. And it is the same word that created all things out of nothing, and the same word that caught too many fish. For this word is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. The world will try to sink the church in a whole variety of ways, through words and through actions. For many years we have been spared much trouble, but the direction does not look good as less and less attend church and less view Christianity in a positive light. The world promises freedom for you, happiness for you, your own path or your own self-actualization, whatever that means. But if we only look around, we would recognize that whether left or right, whether progressive or conservative, whether capitalist or socialist, all are swimming in the same direction, in the same murky darkness. And so it's not surprising that they do not come. What is surprising is that you are here. What is surprising is that God has reserved 7,000 for himself today. It truly is miraculous that you have come and have not sunk down into the depths of this world. for that chaos has all too often touched your life. Who knows when it will all end? You know. It ends when you reach the shores of heaven and you step off this rickety boat and into a new creation. Though splintered and broken and sinking, the church will make it because Christ is with her. Through his ministers, he is with her to serve her. Through them, he speaks his all-powerful word to still all your fears. He is still in control. And so in the midst of our chaotic lives and the adversities that face the church, we see that our God is still with us. He's speaking his forgiving word to us, and when he takes away all our sins, there is nothing to fear. Not sickness, not disease, not culture, not the direction of this world, not a frail church, not even death. Nothing at all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.